Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Charter schools in Ohio have come under close scrutiny lately after accusations of racism, sexism, cheating, and misspending. We're going to sort through it all today. Joining me are Ohio Public Radio Statehouse News Bureau reporter Andy Chow and education writer for the Akron Beacon Journal, Doug Livingston. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can call in at 513-419-7100. Or email us your questions, talk@wvxu.org. You also can post them on Facebook and Twitter. Well, good afternoon, Andy and Doug.
Hi, how are you?
Good. That's Andy. Hi, Doug. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'd like to start out for people that maybe haven't been following this as closely as others of us have, just with a definition of a charter school. And Doug, can you explain what a charter school in Ohio is?
Sure. By definition, a charter school, the state calls them community schools, are public schools, but they're operated independent from the state. They're often managed by companies, whether for-profit or non-profit, and they accept state dollars to essentially provide an education that is not hindered by some of the regulations that burden our traditional public school districts.
So as we're talking about the charter schools, some people say, well, I've heard of magnet schools. That's clearly different.
Yeah. A charter school is essentially a public school. They're set up to take any student, whereas a magnet school has a specific purpose. Now, there are some specific charter schools who have found ways around the regulations to take simply gifted students, but the vast majority of the roughly 390 charter schools in Ohio are public schools that take mostly K to 8 students. There are a few that take high school students, such as Horizon Academies.
How many are there charter schools in Ohio? Is there a large number?
I would have to check by last count. I know that last year we started with 393. Many were shut down. Some were ordered closed by their governing bodies for financial reasons or health reasons. I know a few closed in Columbus for health reasons. At last count, there will be 8 new ones next year, so we'll probably be back around that 390 range. To put things in perspective, they enroll about 7% of Ohio's public students, that's about 120,000-plus students, and they do so with about $900 million annually in public state income taxes.
Now, I'm not sure if either of you will know the answer to this, but it came from Ben on Facebook, and he wants to know, are there more or fewer charter schools in Ohio than in the other states? Do either of you know?
Not sure.
I'm not sure either. We'd have to look at the number per capita. I know there are some states that do not allow charter schools, how Ohio structure them is really how they differ, not in the number, but and the governance.
Now, before we get into all sort of the negative news that has been coming out lately, what's working in the charter schools right now? Have you heard any positives, Andy? Maybe you or Doug?
I'm not quite sure. I know that some schools have been getting being recognized for their work, those Blue Ribbon Awards. The Columbus area charter school has been recognized with those Blue Ribbon Awards. So I guess some are performing well, but overall, I'm not sure.
Doug, have you heard good news stories?
I guess I'd agree with Andy. The good news is kind of spotty. I think he was referring to the Columbus Preparatory Academy, which is a national Blue Ribbon Award school in Columbus. There are charter school chains that are kind of promoted as performing much better than their local school districts. The breakthrough schools in Ohio are often touted by local politicians. Even the Cleveland school system has looked at them as a high-performing charter school network. But on a whole, the statistics really show us that these schools, after 15 years, being around, really are performing on par with the school districts where they're located, which are typically urban schools or slightly worse.
Well, Andy, you've been covering a number of stories lately where some accusations have been made against these schools and the state school board has gotten involved. Can you explain some of the issues that have come up recently?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, a group of former teachers who used to teach at the Horizon Science Academy in Dayton, it was a high school in Dayton, it is a high school in Dayton, they appeared at a state school board meeting and testified during public comments and shared a lot of stories that you had mentioned, allegations of sexual misconduct, racism, teacher intimidation, questioning their testing policies. The teachers showed up to the board meeting and shared all these stories. And because of their testimony, the Ohio Department of Education launched an investigation into that Horizon Science Academy in Dayton.
And there have been others as well, Doug. Is that correct?
Yeah, there are other investigations. In early June, the FBI, along with the Federal Communications Commission, raided three Ohio Horizon Academy schools, as well as others in six Midwest, or I'm sorry, in three Midwest states. So the FBI is looking into how these schools receive federal money to expand their internet capacity for online education, whether it be testing or instruction. And shortly after that, the David Yost, the state auditor, said that his office had conversations about certain testing practices and other allegations that surfaced. And so the state auditor is looking at all 19 of these Horizon Science Academies in Ohio.
Now, this seemed to come about rather quickly, and it makes one wonder what kind of oversight or accountability there is for these schools. What are the rules for how they're managed? Who takes a look and checks out to see if they're doing a good job, or does anybody do that?
Well, Andy, there's not, take that? It's a kind of a confusing question.
There's not much there, and it's definitely a lot less regulation and oversight compared to public schools. And that's the big argument right now, especially several Democrats who are running on the statewide ticket have been using this as kind of a launching pad for an argument that they say the state needs to create much tougher accountability and regulations for these charter schools. If public money is going to be going to these charter schools, that they need to take a closer look at their records and everything related to those things.
And is there there's a movement now to try to get that to happen, or is there just concern at the moment?
There's a bill in the state house right now, sponsored by a Democratic senator, and it's kind of something that you see almost every year in the legislature. They've been trying to push legislation like this for a while, and it's hard to say if there's going to get any movement because of the new insights that have come out against Horizon Science Academy. But it doesn't seem like it might be going anywhere far anytime soon.
What are you hearing, Doug? Do you think it's going to get anywhere?
Well, similar legislation has died on the shelf in previous General Assemblies, but it is a gubernatorial election year, as well as elections for the state auditor, attorney general, and several of the Democratic opponents have come out against the incumbent Republicans on this issue. So it has become a political hot topic this year. I know that Dave Yost, the state auditor, has really come out firmly against some of the practices and these allegations, and he says that he is taking these allegations of test fraud and attendance manipulation very seriously, and he has actually called on the legislature to address these systemic issues that have led to charter schools misappropriating more than $9 million in just his time in office.
We're talking this afternoon about charter schools on Cincinnati Edition. My guest, Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau reporter Andy Chow and education writer for the Akron Beacon Journal, Doug Livingston. If you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you. Our phone number is 513-419-7100. You can email those questions to talk@wvxu.org or post them on Facebook and Twitter. Jackie is calling from Price Hill. Hi, Jackie. What's your comment or question?
Hi. I'm calling because I taught at a charter school here in Cincinnati, and I ended up filing 28 complaints with the state of Ohio, and 27 of them were found valid. And what I wanted to point out is the complaint process. I wanted to file a complaint on the whole school, and literally the person at the community school department, you know, at Ohio said, you can't, don't do that, because I have to turn over your complaint to the nonprofit that holds the charter. And then they investigate the for-profit company that's running the school, and they get back with them. So he told me to file a special ed complaint, which I did, because we had five teachers all in one office and not even a single room, A through 11 school, not one room to take our students into to work with or do anything with them. I kept telling them it was against the law, and they have many schools. This is White Hat Management, Hope Academy. They've got many schools, and they blatantly were like, we don't have rooms in any of our schools for special ed. And I couldn't file complaints on those other schools, and there's nothing the Ohio Department of Ed could do about that because they were, you had to have someone in the school making the complaint, even though they verbally said we do this in all of our other schools.
Doug, do you know, just one second, Doug, do you know if that's the process? There are different ways you have to sort of get it in there to get your complaint heard?
Well, I think what Jackie's talking about is what Dave Yost called a too decentralized system for charter schools. I'm sure Jackie worked at a particular school that was part of a chain, a larger group of what are called Hope Academies, and those schools are ran by a management company. Now, the state doesn't recognize the management company when it goes to do an investigation. It merely looks at the school. But in Ohio, unlike other states, the state, because of the legislation, has basically handed over the oversight to a non-governmental entity. Now, it can be a school district, but in many cases, it's a 501c3 nonprofit group. I'm not sure which one of these groups oversaw the school that Jackie was at, but what the state has to do is hear these complaints, then forward them to an organization that actually receives money for the number of students that are enrolled at the school. That organization, which is the sponsor, is in charge of the oversight and the investigation, and they work closely with the school and the management company. So it's the decentralization of responsibility that is really an issue for investigators and researchers and reporters like myself and Andy who try to find out who's looking into these issues. Are they wider spread? Are they simply at this one location because of the many hands that are in the oversight instead of the state?
Jackie, were you able to continue working at the school after you...
No, it got really ugly. They had lawyers come in to talk to me, and I mean, I carried a recorder around with me. I was put on administrative leave for a week, but I came back. So what they ended up having to do, because I got the U.S. Department of Ed involved, because I'm covered under one of the disability acts because I was filing on behalf of kids with disabilities. So they got involved. So what they had to do is they fired the entire staff of the school so that they couldn't say they were just firing me. And then you could reapply. So it was kind of a hostile work environment because I had made a bunch of teachers angry because they lost their jobs. But the school did revamp. They got rid of the horrible computers that they had in the, you know, mm-hmm. kids were on computers all day, 5th through 11th grade. And it went back to K through 8. So the school did improve, but it didn't change any of the other ones that are being run by White Hat Management. And there's nothing I could do about it.
Well, Jackie,
my hands have been tied. It's
thank you. Thank you so much for your call. We certainly appreciate you sharing your story. Thank you so much. Again, our number, 513-419-7100. Andy, you were about to add something there. I think I interrupted.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that with this most recent case against Horizon Science Academy in Dayton, the issue has become, the teachers came to a board meeting and file these complaints basically through public comments. And the issue has become, well, did any of these teachers file a complaint with ODE previously? And the issue has become that those complaints are kept confidential. So whether or not these teachers did or did not file complaints with the department, we wouldn't know if those were found valid, if they carried out an investigation because of those complaints. So those complaints are definitely kept closed.
Jim, yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Doug.
Piggyback on what Andy was talking about. The Ohio Department of Education, at least a spokesman for the department, has come out and said that these teachers, at least with the allegations that students were involved in sexual practices outside or on school premises, that these are serious allegations and they should have been made with the Children's Services Board or the Dayton Police Department at the time that they happened. So the Ohio Department of Education has really said that, you know, through this investigation, if it's found that there was something wrong happening at the school, that the teachers may be culpable for not notifying the proper authorities. So that's just another element to this whole investigation.
And a spokesperson added on top of that that he felt that coming to the board meeting and filing these complaints through the public comments was more of a way to promote their own personal agenda, maybe a way to promote their personal agenda against charter schools. And he even called it a political stunt.
Our phone number, 513-419-7100. Jim's calling from Coleraine. Hi, Jim. What's your question?
Yes, I just wondered if your guests knew of a source of information to track campaign donations to state legislators who sponsor charter school legislation, and also to track the salaries of the owners and administrators at these charter schools.
Sure. The Secretary of State's office lists a database for campaign contributions, and the Treasurer of State, Josh Mandel's office, would list some of the salaries for administrators, most of the salaries for teachers for these schools. Unfortunately, some of the employees work for what is known as Concept Schools. It's a management company out of Chicago, and because they are a private company, they don't have to list who their employees are or how much they make. But as far as the campaign contributions, when we, you know, certain members of the charter school industry have made, or certain companies have made upwards of $200,000 a year in campaign contributions to certain people in the legislature who promote school choice and the charter school movement. Horizon Science Academies have donated, or at least the employees of Horizon Science Academies have donated about $10,000 since 2010, much of it to John Husted's. He is the Secretary of State, John Husted's election efforts, and Husted has made several visits to these schools. Other donations were made to Cliff Rosenberger, a representative from Montgomery County, who is a front runner for the House speakership. He led a delegation of fellow Republican House lawmakers to Turkey, I believe in 2011, to promote economic relationships between Turkey and the U.S. So they are these are some of the contributions that are made by employees of the school. The contributions do not come directly from the school. I think that would be against their 501c3 status as a public school district.
Jim, thanks for bringing that question up. We appreciate it. Our phone number is 513-419-7100. We're talking about charter schools. My guest, Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau reporter Andy Chow, and education writer for the Akron Beacon Journal, Doug Livingston. Jamie's calling from Kentucky. Hi, Jamie. What's your question?
Hey, how are you?
Just fine.
I actually am listening to the conversation here. I think it's a great conversation. The question I have is this. Is it really necessary to have public money go towards for-profit companies? Some of these charter schools, you say, are for-profit. And it seems to me that when you have a for-profit company, there's a lot of things that come with that, you know. And at the end of the day, it's really about the bottom line. It's about the money. Do you see that as being one of the big problems here?
Andy, have you been following that, or Doug?
I'm sure Doug can add to this more, but I know that the thing is that these students would be leaving a public school and then joining a charter school. So the way it works out is that the money follows the student. So whatever student goes from a public school to a charter school, the money that would be appropriated to that student goes to the charter school.
I think that's the first step, and the money that goes from the public school district goes to a public charter school. The public charter school may be ran by a private company that through a contract agreement says we will accept 96% of that money to manage all operations at your school. So that is where really the transition of public money turns into private assets, which pay for textbooks, salaries, desks, rent, all manner of things that we lose transparency over. Now, whether or not this is a concern, or if the taxpayers or educators, the state thinks that this is an appropriate practice, it's hard to determine because the electorate, the people, have never voted on the concept of charter schools. They have elected legislators who have crafted this system, this kind of dueling public school system.
Jamie, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. As we wrap up the show today, I'd like to sort of give a little timeline as to what's currently happening and where we're headed with all of this. The investigations perhaps are ongoing. Andy, what do you think is going to be coming up over the next few weeks or months?
I think it's going to take a long time, and they're definitely going to keep looking into what's happening. I think the most interesting information is going to be what they are able to find as far as possible attendance scrubbing and mishandling of tests. There's been news outlets coming out talking about how accusations of how the school was able to maybe mishandle the test and perpetrate some type of fraud that way. Again, those are just allegations, but I think those are the first things that we're going to hear about coming out of the investigation.
Doug?
I think this is going to be a lengthy investigation. If it is wrapped up before the November general election, I would be surprised. It took them a while to get through the Columbus testing debacle, and this is one piece of an investigation looking into one school in a chain of 19 in Ohio, so we'll keep tuned.
Thank you both so much. We'll probably have you back as this goes on. We appreciate the conversation.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Marianne.
We've been talking about charter schools in Ohio. My guests have been Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau reporter Andy Chow and education writer for the Akron Beacon Journal, Doug Livingston. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Today's technical director was Rick Andres. We also had help today from Kevin Reynolds. Our engineering staff is Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike Makinich. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.